Father God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus, that you love us. You so love the world that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in our place, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, O Lord God. You love us. We thank you for Jesus, Lord. We thank you. Jesus, fully God, fully took on humanity, is our Savior, our Lord, our King, our friend, our shepherd. We pray that you'd help us even this morning as we retell the old, old story, Lord God, that you would fill our hearts, our minds, our souls with love for you and for one another and for those in the world who do not know you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. This morning we'll look at verses 18 to 25, which is Matthew's account of the actual birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is God's word. In this passage here, we have the birth of Jesus. It's not just a regular birth. It's all written through his birth that Jesus is God. He is fully man, yes, as he takes on humanity here in his birth. And Jesus is God. First, in verses 18 and 19, we see Mary is pregnant. Now, this is the first of five Old Testament fulfillments that happen about the coming of the Messiah here in the early parts of Matthew. It's these references here are pointing back to prophecies, ones that Michael read from this morning in Isaiah chapter 7, which is about 600 years before Jesus' birth. This is all part of the amazing fulfillment of God's prophecy. Just another indicator, proclamation, shouting of the truth that Jesus is God. So she's engaged to be married to Joseph. Our understanding from trying to study this time period and the Jewish culture of this time period is you'd get engaged, it'd usually be for about a year before you got married, and that engagement had some legal binding to it, unlike we think about engagement in our day. Think about Joseph. Think about Mary. Think about the two of them here, right? Mary is told earlier by the angel that she's going to bear a child and it's going to be God's son. What a mixture of emotions. How can this be? That's never happened before. It's amazing. Why has God chosen me? It's terrifying. What are people going to say? What is my family going to say? What is my betrothed husband going to say? How am I going to do this? How can I raise the Son of God as my child? And now here's Joseph, and he's confused. The woman he loves and is engaged to, now she's pregnant. And of course, he knows there's only one way that's possible. And so he is assuming that somehow she's been unfaithful to him. But he's described as a righteous man, a good man. And he's not trying to protect his name or stake his claim and clean his reputation out of concern for Mary, not wanting to tarnish her reputation more. He knows that what he has to do is divorce her, but he wants to do that quietly so that there's as little shame as possible. Imagine the disappointment that Joseph felt, the confusion. What happens when you have these expectations of the way life is supposed to go, how life is supposed to unfold step by step, and you see all your friends and neighbors and everyone, their lives unfolding the way it's quote-unquote supposed to go, but then something happens. And all the things that you expected or hoped for are turned upside down. It happens to all of us at different points in our lives and in different ways. And so here's Mary and Joseph with all these different emotions, all these different feelings and fears and decisions to make. Because Mary is pregnant. Well, then an angel speaks to Joseph, changes the whole situation, or describes, actually, that's interesting, sorry, nothing changed in the situation, but just truth was spoken into the situation. And the angel tells Joseph that this conception is by the Holy Spirit. Again, verses 20 and 21. It says, as he considered all these things. So Joseph isn't just making some quick, rash decision. Oh, I can't believe this happened to Mary and what'd she do to me and get rid of her. No, he's pondering, he's considering, he's wrestling with what has happened to his life. What is going on? It says, behold. I love that. So here's something remarkable happening. Right? That's not a normal sentence. You could say, oh, I had a dream. But no, this the scripture is declaring, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And it's interesting how God speaks differently to different people. There's a number of times throughout the scriptures where God speaks in dreams. When an angel appeared to Mary, it wasn't in a dream. And he appeared to Moses. God appeared himself in a burning bush. There's so many different ways that God speaks to us and to people. And yet this is a remarkable occurrence here, right? This isn't an everyday, God speaking here. This is a very special way, showing up to Joseph in a dream and says to her something that, something that I find so interesting. He says, do not fear. Right? And we see that so often when an angel appears. It was in one of our worship songs this morning, fear not. Right? I really don't believe that that fear not or do not fear is in any way saying, oh, would you stop it? Right? What are you afraid of? Cut it out. If you really had faith in me, you wouldn't be afraid. Just stop it. Pull up your bootstraps and deal with it. I'm here, right? You just got to trust me. No, I don't believe that that's the way the Lord speaks and is speaking here, or the angel of the Lord is speaking here. I believe it's to comfort. I believe the angel says, fear not, because he understands and knows Joseph is afraid. He is scared. And so he wants to comfort him. God of all comfort comforts us in our sorrow and in our difficulty and in our struggles, so that we then in turn can comfort one another with the comfort we have received from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And he gives them the context here. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It's the Holy Spirit who has conceived. What's going on here is of God. And it's amazing. It's miraculous and it's beautiful. And I know it's hard, but it's good. So do not be afraid to go forward. In fact, let me tell you what's going on here. She's going to bear a son. And Joseph, I want you to name him Jesus. Now, the name Jesus, when you put it back into Hebrew, it's Joshua, right? And what it means is the Lord saves. And so Jesus' name itself is describing who he is and what he's doing. And the angel goes on here to give more description. You shall call him Jesus. Why? Why that name? Why not Bob? Because, nothing wrong with Bob. Bob's a fantastic name, don't get me wrong. But this is why we're calling him Jesus. Sorry, I'm not trying to pick on Bob. For he will save his people. But he doesn't stop there. See, so many were looking for a savior from the Roman oppression. We're looking for a savior who would lead their country back into military might, back into prominence and power and prosperity. So many of us are looking for a savior to help us with the difficulties we have in life, and Jesus does help us and does care about the difficulties in our lives. But specifically, he's speaking about what he's going to save his people from, and it's at the heart of all of our biggest problem. He will save his people from their sins. From their sins. No leader can do that, no politician, no job, no winning of the lottery, no medicine can save us from our sins. Only God can do that by sending Jesus to die in our place so that all who look to him with faith have our sins washed away for all eternity. Well, the angel now tells him that this is all happening because of fulfillment of prophecy. The fulfillment of the prophecy to Isaiah in chapter 7 that Michael read and is quoted here again in verse 23. That a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I love that. Emmanuel. God is with us. And so there's a couple different meanings there, a couple different things that's pointing out. That name of Jesus is calling out Emmanuel. That he comes down, he came down, the Son of God, God himself comes down and takes on human form, human flesh, and dwells among us. And so he is with us, with his people, in his incarnation, in his birth that we celebrate. But he's also means he is with us right now, even when he's not physically incarnate right now. That God is with us always, everywhere. There is no place, no situation, no time, nothing that we can do or be or go to where God is not with us. He's always with us, and he promises that. That doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen. It doesn't mean things aren't going to be hard. But he's going to be with us through it all. And we can trust him that he is working out all things for good for all of us who love him and are called according to his purposes. Well, we close then with Joseph's response. We love Joseph. We know so little about him. But his response is a response of obedience. Wow. I'm not sure how I would have reacted. I mean, none of us can really know, right? I'd like to think, well, if an angel of the Lord appears to me in a dream, I'm going to do what he says, right? I mean, obviously, piece of cake, there you go. I don't know. You ever have a really intense experience with the Lord? You feel like God has really met you in a very special way, and then a few days go by, and a few weeks go by, and a few months go by, and you go, I don't know. Like the power of that moment seems to fade a little bit. I don't know. It says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took his wife. He did not know her until she had given birth to a son, and he obeyed and called him Jesus. Joseph and Mary, their response to these incredible circumstances was to trust God and to obey him. It's absolutely beautiful response and encourages me. Encourages me too to know that God loves us so much that he told us from the very beginning he was going to send a Savior. As we've referenced many times, way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, there's a reference right there that God is going to have from Adam and Eve descendant a Savior who will destroy Satan. God has promised and God has kept his promises and sent Jesus to be born because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us always. Pray, Father, that we would trust you more and more, that we would love you, that you clear away our vision, Lord, that we would see you as you are, and our love would overflow for you to one another, O Lord God. Be glorified, Lord Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.